Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel, protection, ability,
friendship,
escape,
independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injuries,
tears,
death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Gosh, I didn't preview that PSA I just played, or I would have never played it. What? Driving means freedom and all these things? Well, I agreed with the second part of it, but the first part of it, that was a little bit extreme, where they get paid off by the $15 billion a year spent in auto advertising. Sorry, I'm not 30 seconds into the show and snide remarks already. Well, all right. Thanks for tuning into Out There here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, Northampton. It's Tuesday afternoon on March. Today is March 17th. Oh, someone told me that today was St. Patrick's Day. And I am your host, Ruthie Woodring, here in the studio with my little disinfectant rag, wiping down things and trying to not kiss the mic too much. But today's show, the main part I got for the first part is an interview with Dwayne the Dog Rainey, talking about cans for cancer. Dwayne had a show here on Valley Radio called My Generation, a music show that he did on Fridays for a couple years. And here we go. So I'm here with Dwayne Rainey, my friend and Pedal People sub, who has to take a leave of absence. But your brain's been churning, Dwayne.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the wheels are turning. Not as much on my bike and trailer, but definitely my bike and my life.
Yeah. Yeah, so your last route was a week ago tomorrow, and then the rest of the week.
I was recently diagnosed with a little bit of throat cancer, and go figure, I'm 60 almost, so I have this problem, and I'm going to have to apparently go to do some chemotherapy and radiation therapy. And so I was like, oop, well, that's going to put a damper on pulling a trailer, I hear, because you get kind of tired and beat down and going through all these processes. And I wasn't too happy about that. And I definitely wasn't too happy about, like, saying to Pedal People, you know, sorry, you know, the guy is like picking up the slack, can't pick it up for a little bit. So
yeah, you told me last week how you tried to be the patch on the tube, and now you feel like the leak.
No, not the leak. I'll always be the patch. But yeah, so it got me thinking. You know, how can I still be like? I want to be involved. With Pedal People, it's a great mission. Helping the environment is always a good mission, especially, I mean, I can't say especially now, but all the time. And how am I going to take and do that? And, you know, because now I'm just receiving things like through the hospital.
You're receiving a million doctor's appointments.
Yeah. I just got a couple more today, but I was like, ugh. And then how am I going to make money? I'm not going to go to this, like, McDonald's or someplace like that. And, I mean, I wanted to do something that was unique, I thought. Or I wasn't maybe thinking unique, but I said, And I have this friend of mine, good friend of mine, and he's got, like, a recycling business. And he was like, you know, I wish people let me have all their cans. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at them, I'm like, what? I said, oh, yeah, just call them up, and I'm sure that they'll say, oh, sure. You can just go through our tubs and get all the cans and for your personal use. I said, if you had, like, something that you could do with them, maybe they would say, well, okay, that's a good cause. Mm-hmm. And I had that conversation with him, and then I was thinking about how many times I'd been to the DPW and value recycling, and just dumping the recycling containers into the bins, and how many redeemable cans and bottles I would see, like, all the time, or the ones that I would see in the bins that we pick up on a daily basis, or did.
Well, yeah, for people who don't know, Pedal People is a trash recycling and compost recycling.
Yeah, it's a great business.
On bicycle. On bicycle trailers.
So, I was saying, you know, people, I fit in the low income range, you know, with SSDI and, you know, little part time work that I do. And there's bills that are going to be coming up, and, you know, So I said many times, I wish I could just jump in one of them recycling dumpsters and throw out all the nickels. They wouldn't have to pay me because, I mean, it was just like so many in there. And those just go to the recycling center, and they're no longer worth a nickel. Then they buy the pound.
And they cost money.
Yeah, it costs money to ship. So I was like, oh, man. So I came up with an idea. Cans for Cancer is going to be a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to legally divert redeemable recycling from the mainstream recycling by any means necessary. So if that means that I have to go to an event with a big dumpster and say, hey, I want your cans, I want your bottles, but why do I want them? So therein lies the mission. There's a lot of elderly people, and not just them, but just people maybe with low income, and unexpected bills have come up. And where do they turn to? What could they do? I know there's probably some organizations out there that help them, but why don't I take and use this money that I'm pulling in from the cans and bottles that people are giving me, and after I return them, then create a pool. A pool specifically to help maybe grandma or grandpa pay their copay on some medication that they need. Maybe help them upgrade their insurance, or somebody, just anything. Some low income people, they need a little help. So somebody should be there to help them. So by getting all these redeemable cans and bottles and donations, if people want to give donations, great. More to help the cause. But, so I have my moments of sorrow. I come up with this idea, cans for cans. I mean, cans for cancer.
So you're trying to figure out how it's all going to work. What are your ideas about logistics? Like, who would pick up the cans?
Yeah.
Like, where would the cans be, and how would they get actually picked up, and who's going to put them through the machines?
All right. So I have a really good friend, as I mentioned earlier, who's been doing the one who wanted a cancer pedal. I told him he's going to get a tidal wave. He doesn't even know it's going to come in yet. But he's got a system that works really well. Yeah. I mean, and I guess the larger that I get, or the more redeemables start coming in, then, you know, there's a lot of people. My neighbor just said to me today, he said, hey, when you get that going and you need some help, just let me know. I'll go count cans. So, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how quickly it's going to go. I expect, hopefully, a major onslaught of cans. That's going to bury us, but we can dig ourselves out. I can count by two really fast. So,
By two or by five?
Two. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. You know, 50.
Yeah.
So we bagged him up at like 200s or something like that. But he's got a system, and that system can be expanded pretty rapidly and pretty easily. I would like to purchase like 55-gallon like plastic trash bins, you know, with a lid, cut the hole in it, and if I have a fundraiser someplace, or say I'm up on recycling day at Smith Volk with my dumpster, you know, let some kids in there and paint them up, because I want them to be pretty bright. I want people to know, like, yeah, this is a good thing. I'm not going to paint them, you know, black, or, you know, just keep them green. I want them colorful. So people are like, oh, C for C. You know, cancer, cancer. Oh, that's a good thing to donate to, because that stuff gets used to help people.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. It's an interview with Dwayne the Dog Rainey, talking about cans for cancer. Dwayne was saying how, oh yeah, he can. He wants a tidal wave of cans. Well, he might get one, because I just found out as I was playing this that the Redemption Center at Liquors 44 is closed, which is the main place that we take cans and bottles here in Northampton. So there might be a backlog coming his way. We'll see. Here's a song request from Dwayne, Alicia Keys.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I'm playing an interview today with Dwayne Rainey about Cans for Cancer. Dwayne would have liked to have been in the studio today live, but this show is pre-recorded from yesterday because Dwayne's got a doctor's appointment now. There's a lot of doctor's appointments when you got cancer.
My friend who's going to... When I first mentioned the idea, he said, "What are you trying to cut my throat?" I said, "No.
Trying to save yours."
I need your help, actually. So, I mean, why am I going to cut your throat if I need your help? Mm-hmm. A week after I'm done. No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, edit that part. Casey listens. But, I mean, there's going to be a time where, you know, I'm going to have to find other ways to, like, redeem them. How does Liquors 44 redeem, like, a large amount of dirt bottles and cans?
Maybe just sort it by type and then weigh it.
Yeah, and have a certain amount. However it's going to go to the next level, that's just going to be something that I'll have to deal with when it comes on. So whatever income that comes in from either donations and or all the recycling, half of that money, or at least I say half, depending on how much, you know, there's going to be expenses to take care of, but then there's also going to be a pretty nice pool. And if I can just say, okay, if I keep my expenses to here, I can have roughly half of what Cans for Cancer will be, like, worth as an organization. I have to make a split somewhere, but I want to have a nice pool of money, a few thousand, who knows how much. As much as I get, great. I'm happy. And the great thing about this is, yeah, I'll start it here. And I'll work here right now. Because, A, I'm doing something good for the environment. There's going to be education. I want to stir the young kids up. I want them to go home and tell their parents that it's their job to save the world. And it is. They need to take and do this. And so the sooner that more people get involved and maybe get out of their everyday ruts, get away from Alexa or all the toys that they have and start thinking about actually the earth itself. I try not to watch the news, but I stay informed. And this world is really in a bad state. I can't cure it. But if I can take and divert money and keep it away from the corporations, that's another thing I'm going to tell them. Because we need this money. They don't need that money. We need this money.
I'm curious. You said something about diverting all the deposits by any legal means possible. Like, are there some illegal means?
Well, I'm not going to go run up to someone's garage. I'm not going to go running through the USA dumpsters. Where are these cans and bottles going now? Through USA Waste. Where do those go? They get dropped off in the MRF or something in Springfield, and then from there on a conveyor belt. And there's hundreds and thousands of dollars every day just being thrown out in redeemable cans and bottles.
Yeah, the burden's on the state, essentially, right, or the communities, when it should be on the bottlers.
I want to save the DPW money because they pay by the pound or whatever. Those things take up space in the recycling containers. That's why I want to legally divert them somehow. If I have a container someplace, maybe even a container like in somewhere like maybe the DPW.
Yeah.
So if I'm getting support from people and organizations to help me with my mission, I sure am going to take and help other people in a good idea, expand the bottle bowl.
Yeah.
The Nestle's company is extracting water at almost astronomical rates for nothing and charging people money for their water. They do not even deal with chaka anymore. They gave that up. It wasn't.
You know, why bother with chaka when you can convince people to buy water?
Yeah, when I was doing my route recently, I was picking up trash and recycling on my bike, and a customer came out on his way to get in his car and drive away, and he was like, "Oh, it's pretty warm out today. Do you want a bottle of cold water?" And I was kind of like, I didn't really want to say no and sound like an ingrate. So I was like, okay, thank you. But later I thought, maybe I could have said, I'm allergic to water. No, thank you.
No, yeah. I'm not from this planet. I'm a pedal person. Can't you tell? So I need to reduce, because that stuff, people do pay for recycling now to dispose of recycling.
Yeah, we pay 10 cents a pound to dispose of cans and bottles. We, pedal people, pay 10 cents a pound to put recycling cans and bottles recycling in the recycling dumpster at Valley.
Correct. So we're paying for that. The city of Northampton is paying for everybody's recycling.
Yeah, prices are going to go up 1st of June or 1st of July.
And so if I can help this DPW, maybe the Amherst DPW, the East Hampton DPW, every single DPW, I'm going to get a lot of cans.
Yeah.
So I'm working right now on my mission statement that I'm going to take and soon have, say, a Facebook page of what it is. It's not a GoFundMe page for me, but you know what? I'm starting this. It's to help people who are low income and elderly, and I am almost 60. Even though I look like I'm 30, maybe. So I'm going to be the first, I'm going to be the guinea pig. I mean, yeah, in a couple months I'll be okay, better, but hey, I got something started that's going to help maybe a few more people somehow, some way. And that's my mission that I found when I thought, how am I going to get another job?
Do you feel like talking at all about how it's been to find out that you have cancer?
Yeah, it was pretty depressing. I had sore throat. I smoked for 40 some odd years or whatever. I drank for a lot of years. I don't drink anymore. I haven't in a long time. But, the lifestyle I've lived all these years has been, pretty colorful, to say the least. And, okay. And I was very... They tell you, and then you start thinking, oh, this is wrong, and that is wrong. Because my mother, she died when she was 41 or 42 from cirrhosis of the liver and pancreatitis. And then my father died. He was about 58, 59, my age, from terminal lung cancer. So I'm pushing that now. I got some, and I'm oh, great. But they did this PET CT scan of my body, and when I looked at it, I was like, okay, my liver's good, my kidney's good, my lungs are good. Who knew all those things lasted on, but I'm in pretty good shape. So then after I saw that, I was already getting hope because of this project, and then I saw that, I'm like, oh yeah, I got this. So I have to have some stuff done to me. But overall, I'm in good shape. No high blood pressure, not high nothing. So I'm thankful. And I have a good feeling about it. And I have a good feeling about cans for cancer. And that's why I'm not going to be sidetracked. I mean, I love pedal people, and I'll still pull a hollow trailer. But just to be helpful and helpful to my environment still. I have other projects that are going to be coming up that have nothing to do with this. So I have a lot of positive things, even though there's one negative thing just grabs a hold of you, and you just start thinking of all your life choices. You know, what do you want to do? And then you realize that, yeah, when you thought you were 20, 30, maybe even 40, you're invincible. Mm-hmm. I know I'm coming to the end of the road sometimes. I'm like, hey, another 10, 15 years, and I'm good. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. Because many of my friends, you know, from the past that I've been through my life are all gone. And I always think, you know, what am I, you know, a piece of crap like me, what am I doing around here? I don't know. And all of a sudden, in some of my darkest times of my life, I found a light of hope with this project when I thought about it. And I said, I have to see what I can do with this and follow this and make this happen. Was explaining my idea to a couple of friends of mine. One of my friends looked at me and goes, well, I'm good for like about 12 bottles a day, he says. So that times like five, he's like 60. He goes, I wish it could be more. He says, but you know, it's something. And I said to him, hey, you know, it doesn't matter how many, but the fact that he wanted to take it out to donate all his recyclable glass bottles from every day. I thought that was nice.
That was Dwayne Rainey talking about his new project he's working on, Cans for Cancer. If you want to get a hold of Dwayne, if you got some cans, redeemable cans and bottles you want to donate, you can reach Dwayne. I'm going to give his phone number. I hope that's okay. 413-387-9731. I'll give that again in a minute. I'm sure it's okay because his phone number is also posted on the Pedal People Bike Lab website. 413-387-9731. Speaking of the bike lab, I'm still doing the bike lab. Saturdays, 11 to 2. I guess so. I don't know. No one really has been coming much anyway because it's been winter and, well, I was gone in Trinidad for a while. But if you want to come, make sure you're healthy. You know, we can like sanitize tools or wipe them down or something like that. Or I can do phone consults. I'm happy to do phone consults anytime during the week. You can ask me questions about your bike, and I can walk you through how to fix it. My number is also on the Pedal People Bike Lab website, 413-586-8031. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I got another song request from Dwayne, another Alicia Keys.
Walking in the street, looked up and noticed he was nameless, he was homeless. She asked him his name and told him what hers was. He gave her a story about life with a glint in his eye and a corner of a smile. One conversation, a simple moment, the things that change us if we notice when we look up sometimes. They said I would never make it, but I was built to break the mold. The only dream that I've been chasing is my own. So I sing a song for the hustlers trading at the bus stop, single mothers waiting on a check to come, young teachers, student doctors, sons on the front line knowing they don't get to run. This goes up to the underdog. Keep on keeping at what you love, and you'll find that someday, soon enough, you will rise up. Back to the kitchen, talking to the driver about his wife and his children, on a run from a country where they put you in prison for being a woman and speaking your mind. She looked in his eyes in the mirror and he smiled. One conversation, a single moment, the things that change us if we notice when we look up sometimes. They said I would never make it, but I was built to break the mold. The only dream that I've been chasing is my own. So I sing a song for the hustlers trading at the bus stop. Single mothers waiting on a check to come. Young teachers, student doctors, sons on the front line knowing they don't get to run. This goes up to the underdog. Keep on keeping it what you love and you'll find that someday soon enough you will rise up. Everybody rise up.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. That is Sona Jobarte singing Gambia. I have no idea about the pronunciation of that name. For the rest of today's show, I'm going to play some of a Martin Luther King Jr. talk about the three evils of society. I was listening to this recently and I was like, this is good stuff. Forever good. This is on where I found this talk online. It's a 43-minute long talk. I'm starting at minute 10, but everything is just like continuously applicable.
It seems that our legislative assemblies have adopted Nero as their patron saint and are bent on fiddling while our cities burn. Even when the people persist and in the face of great obstacles develop indigenous leadership and self-help approaches to their problems, and finally tread the forest of bureaucracy to obtain existing government funds, the corrupt political order seeks to crush even this beginning of hope. The case of CDGM in Mississippi is the most publicized example, but it is a story repeated many times across our nation. Our own experience here in Chicago is especially painfully present. After an enthusiastic approval by HEW's Department of Adult Education, SCLC began an adult literacy project to aid 1,000 young men and women who have been pushed out of overcrowded ghetto schools in obtaining basically literacy skills prerequisite to receiving jobs. We had an agreement with A&P stores for 750 jobs through SCLC's job program, Operation Breadbasket, and had recruited over 500 pupils the first week. At that point, Congressman Kuchinski and the Daily Machine intervened and demanded that Washington cut off our funds or channel them through the machine control poverty program in Chicago. Now we have no problem with administrative supervision, but we do have a desire to be independent of machine control and the Democratic Party patronage network. For this desire for a politically independent approach to the needs of our brothers, our funds are being stopped as of September 15th, and a very meaningful program discontinued. Yes, the hour is dark. Evil comes forth in the guise of good. It is a time of double talk when men in high places have a high blood pressure of deceptive rhetoric and an anemia of concrete performance. We cry out against welfare handouts to the poor, but generously approve an oil depletion allowance to make the rich richer. Six Mississippi plantations receive more than $1 million a year not to plant cotton, but no provision is made to feed the tenant farmer who is put out of work by the government subsidy. The crowning achievement in hypocrisy must go to those staunch Republicans and Democrats of the Midwest and West who were given land by our government when they came here as immigrants from Europe. They were given education through the land-grant colleges. They were provided with agricultural agents to keep them abreast of farming trends. They were granted low-interest loans to aid in the mechanization of their farms. And now that they have succeeded in becoming successful, they are paid not to farm. And these are the same people who now say to black people whose ancestors were brought to this country in chains and who were emancipated in 1863 without being given land to cultivate or bread to eat, that they must pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. What they truly advocate is socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor.
Yeah, I want to stop that right there for a minute. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. This is a speech from Martin Luther King Jr., The Three Evils of Society. This was given at the first and only National Conference for New Politics. I'm not sure exactly what year that was. There's some more in that talk I'd like to come back to if we have time.
Aaron, do you have an easy essay? This is like one of my favorite easy essay by Peter Morin.
Yes.
The world would be better off if everyone tried to become better, and people would become better if they stopped trying to be better off. For when everyone tries to become better off, nobody is better off. But when everyone tries to be better, everyone is better off.
Ali don't wo, sarawani ni don't sa.
That is Yambo Yambo by Salif Keita. And you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. So today is March 17th, and schools are closed, businesses are closed, some businesses, public buildings, some of them are closed. The Locust Street Transfer Center is going to be closed on Wednesdays now for the foreseeable future, for the coronavirus stuff. I've noticed biking around, picking up trash. It just seems like the air is cleaner than usual. There's so much less car traffic. Outside is a really nice place to be. I encourage you, if you're able, to get outside. Northampton has so many beautiful outdoor public spaces for people to stay 6 feet apart. Like Fitzgerald Lake or the Sawmill Hills, the Mineral Hills, along the Mill River, all through town, the cemeteries, the parks, many other places, conservation areas and things. What else? All right. Madness Radio comes up at 4 o'clock here on Valley Free Radio. And I'm going to play some more from the Martin Luther King Jr. talk from The Three Evils of Society.
I wish that I could say that this is just a passing phase in the cycle of our nation's life. Certainly times of war, times of reaction throughout the society. But I suspect that we are now experiencing the coming to the surface of a triple-pronged sickness that has been lurking within our body politic from its very beginning. That is the sickness of racism, excessive materialism, and militarism. Not only is this our nation's dilemma, it is the plague of Western civilization. As early as 1906, W.E.B. Du Bois prophesied that the problem of the 20th century will be the problem of the color line. Now, as we stand two-thirds into this crucial period of history, we know full well that racism is still that hound of hell which dogs the tracks of our civilization. Ever since the birth of our nation, white America has had a schizophrenic personality on the question of race. She has been torn between selves, a self in which she proudly professed the great principles of democracy, and a self in which she madly practiced the antithesis of democracy. This tragic duality has produced a strange indecisiveness and ambivalence toward the Negro, causing America to take a step backward simultaneously with every step forward on the question of racial justice, to be at once attracted to the Negro and repelled by him, to love and to hate him. There has never been a solid, unified, and determined thrust to make justice a reality for Afro-Americans. The step backward has a new name today. It is called the white backlash. But the white backlash is nothing new. It is the surfacing of old prejudices, hostilities, and ambivalences that have always been there. It was caused neither by the cry of black power, nor by the unfortunate recent wave of riots in our cities. The white backlash of today is rooted in the same problem that has characterized America ever since the black man landed in chains on the shores of this nation. This does not imply that all white Americans are racist. Far from it. many white people have, through a deep moral compulsion, fought long and hard for racial justice. Nor does it mean that America has made no progress in her attempt to cure the body politic of the disease of racism, or that the dogma of racism has not been considerably modified in recent years. However, for the good of America, it is necessary to refute the idea that the dominant ideology in our country, even today, is freedom and equality, while racism is just an occasional departure from the norm on the part of a few bigoted extremists. Racism can well be that corrosive evil that will bring down the curtain on Western civilization. Arnold Toynbee has said that some 26 civilizations have risen upon the face of the earth. Almost all of them have descended into the junk heaps of destruction. The decline and fall of these civilizations, according to Toynbee, was not caused by external invasions, but by internal decay.
I'm going to stop that there. I want to make a couple of announcements here on Valley Free Radio before the hour is over. Let's see. I wanted to make an announcement about the Pioneer Valley Workers Center. The worker assembly that usually happens on Monday nights will be actually tonight, Tuesday, online. There's a 7 p.m. meeting. And you can find out more information on that, I guess, on the Pioneer Valley Workers Center Facebook page, probably. But they want to make sure that with the COVID-19 crisis, that especially restaurant workers who have been laid off, that they and their families are getting their needs met. Representative Lindsay Sabadosa will be on the conference call thing, the Zoom, I guess it's a Zoom call, internet kind of call. Lindsay Sabadosa will be on to update them on the latest legislation to address basic needs. And I'm sure I had other announcements. Well, my housemate, Alex Jarrett, who is also city councilor for Ward 5, he's got a big list of resources, like mutual aid network kind of resources that people need. Contact me. Sorry, me. Contact me, the space cadet. All right. Well, thanks for listening to Out There. Hopefully I'll be more combobulated next Tuesday. And have a good day. Enjoy the quiet and calm out there.